Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, for millions of South Africans, debt has become a silent crisis that strips away dignity and choice. And there are some worrying numbers here. Over 40% of credit active consumers are in one form of distress or another, and over 28 million people on social grants. The reality of predatory lending has become a lot more than a financial issue. I wonder if it's a human rights concern. We've just acknowledged Human Rights Day. And joining us to discuss this a little further is Deon Sherman from the National Debt Advisors Organization. And I want to talk about why reckless lending, dishonest credit practice, and financial exploitation should be treated as serious rights violations, and maybe a lot more importantly, what can be done about it. Deon, a very warm welcome to you. And let me ask you bluntly then, the National Credit Act, do you think it's failing South Africans, or is the problem just about enforcement?
Yeah, thank you for having me. So that's actually a very, very good question. So the National Credit Act was put in place to protect consumers, to regulate the credit industry, and to put certain measures in place that hold credit providers and relevant stakeholders accountable. So the NCA is pretty much clear in what's considered as reckless lending, as well as what the potential consequences of reckless lending is. A lot of the credit providers are adhering to those provisions. However, what we found, and this is through reckless lending investigations that are done by debt counselors, is that a lot of the times consumers have provided information that may not be 100% accurate. So they might have overinflated their income or deflated their expenses. And so when these investigations are done, the credit providers provide credit agreements indicating that the consumers claim that they could afford debt to some extent. And so it kind of makes the reckless credit argument null and void because the credit providers show that they've done their required due diligence. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that credit providers are not in the wrong. Marketing practices that market credit and market credit agreements and target specific groups of people that may, by just association, not be able to afford credit agreements, like, for example, grant recipients, that's where the real issue is at hand, is when we're targeting people who accept and are on social grants, when we target them to solicit or provide credit agreements to them, knowing that they're not going to be able to afford it, knowing that they're overinflating their expenses, and there aren't any real provisions that prevent those sorts of situations from taking place.
So what type of provisions are we talking about it? And it does beg the question, surely, how lenders still get away with granting high interest loans to particularly social grant recipients who simply cannot afford it.
So the provisions within the National Credit Act outline that a credit agreement needs to meet certain standards. So, for example, it has to be the credit agreement itself has to be in a language that the consumer understands. The terms must have been explained to the consumer in full detail, and an affordability assessment should have been conducted prior to granting the credit agreement, which would facilitate or at least indicate to credit providers whether or not the consumer can afford the credit agreement. So what makes a loan reckless, basically, is where you grant credit to a consumer and the granting in that credit to the consumer leads that consumer to become over indebted, meaning that they don't have sufficient income to pay back that debt at the end of the month. So that is what makes it reckless per se, is within that process not doing your affordability assessment and the outcome of that affordability assessment indicating that the consumer doesn't or can't afford the debt, but then granting it to the consumer anyway. That's what makes it reckless, because it places the consumer in a worse off position.
But the consumer surely has got to take some responsibility here. Often we see consumers misrepresent their financial situation to get credit. So there's got to be a balance, surely, between consumer accountability on the one hand and systemic exploitation, as we've been discussing, on the other.
And that's exactly where majority of our reckless lending investigations lead to. It leads to that exact outcome where consumers have overinflated their income, where they've deflated their expenses. And it's usually the deflation of expenses, because how do you prove expenses, right? You can get a bank statement, but then you could say, oh, no, but I withdraw my money and then I spend via cash.
Right.
So it's the expenses that's the crux of the matter, and that is usually how consumers get away with applying for debt that they can't really afford.
So is there a role then for banks and more formal lenders to play in offering safe credit alternatives, or potentially, Dion, are they part of the problem as well?
It's a bit of a mixed bag. You have micro lenders who tend to be a bit more, how would I say, adventurous with the law. The larger banks tend to, because they're so heavily regulated, they tend to have processes in place that mitigate those risks as much as possible. But yes, all role players have their part to play within the current problem that we have in South Africa. And it speaks to many other issues that we have as a society. Why do certain groups of people require or are in need of debt when they're already getting financial assistance? Is the financial assistance relevant to their situation? Is it a long-term solution? This problem is a symptom of a larger concern. And once we start addressing the larger concern, this won't be a problem anymore.
Just finally then, you call all of this, in other words, predatory lending, a human rights issue. So it's important that we elevate that back to that level, I guess, in the eyes of lawmakers and the public. But that's not really the case, is it?
Not necessarily. So, you see, reckless lending came about from the 2008 recession, where, evidently enough, the cause of the recession within the U.S. was reckless lending, where banks were giving out loans and mortgages to people who couldn't afford to pay them back, and that just led to a huge collapse in the market, and that had ripple effects across the world. So the NCA in its current form, along with reckless lending and the provisions to govern reckless lending, come about from the 2008 recession. With that being said, to some extent, yes, there's definitely certain aspects that the government and society can look at in order to address reckless lending and to address the fact that we may have people that are in compromised positions being directly targeted to facilitate loans and to provide loans to these people who can't afford it. Giving them those loans will place them in a worse position, and then it leads them to being in a debt spiral when they can't even put food on the table. So it's definitely something to consider.
Dion Sherman, thank you very much indeed from National Debt Advisors. I do appreciate your time and for throwing some light on this very important issue.
Heart Business on Heart 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.